thank you again so much for tuning in to Lost in Love. And keep those spirits high, y'all. We will get through this together. Until next time, y'all. Thank you.
Islands in the stream, that is what we are.
Vous êtes à l'écoute de KRVS 88.7 FM Lafayette-Lac-Charles. This is Public Radio for Acadiana. KRVS 88.7 FM Lafayette-Lac-Charles.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. Je savais pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and back in the studio with me today is Clay Rose, a musician. He was in the studio last month talking about his beginnings as a musician and guitar player, singer, songwriter, and his band, Gasoline Lollipops, which is kind of a funny story about how he got that name. If you did not have a chance to listen to that episode, you may go to the website, krvs.org, and there's a new menu button, which will drop down audio on demand that will pull up the show, and you can punch in February 18th, in the Je Savais Pas, and that should pull up the episode for you to listen to. So today he's in talking about his band and his their fifth album that they've been recording at. Or they actually have done by now, Dockside Studio. So thank you, Clay, for returning and sharing some more of your journey, and this time with the band and the recordings. And you were mentioning the name of this fifth album, and it's hysterical. You got to explain, you know, how y'all come about with these album titles.
Well, the new album is called All the Misery Money Can Buy. And it's just sort of based on my observation of the fact that I have some very wealthy friends, and mm-hmm. I have far more poor friends, mm-hmm. like myself. And the disparity of happiness is a confusing thing, because mm-hmm. you would think the more money someone has, the happier they might be. And that seems to be the opposite from the observations I've made. And I guess I'm beginning to draw the conclusion that that it's just more fulfilling to be living for the sake of meaningful relationships with the people we love and the people mm-hmm. that are around us, as opposed to the accumulation of things.
Mm-hmm.
So in the current climate, it seems to be getting more and more extreme, right? And I feel like it would behoove the 1% to share their wealth, like, not for my sake so much, although right. it would be nice if I could spend more time with the people I love and less time trying to make the rent.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be helpful, but more for their sake, for the 1%'s sake. I think that if they, you know, let go of a lot of things that they've been spending so much time and energy trying to accumulate, they might have more time to focus on the people around them that they love, and they might find a more meaningful existence.
Sweet. So how many songs on the recording?
There's 11.
Okay. And then you said it's due out sometime this summer?
Yep. Sometime this summer. We've been shopping the record around to labels around mm-hmm. the country, and we're still waiting to see where it's going to land, but it'll be out sometime this summer.
Okay. So what was some of the planning, processing things that you had to do to, I think on the last episode you talked about that there's, what, five of you in the band, and you all sort of share singer-songwriting now?
A bit, yeah. There's probably four or five songs on the album that were a collaborative mm-hmm. process, which is new for us. And there was a bit of a learning curve there and sort of feeling each other out. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that comes from having multiple cooks in the kitchen, and
yep.
sometimes there's a lot of elbows, you know what I mean? So
bumping elbows, yeah. Give me elbow room.
So we felt each other out, and actually when we were at Dockside recording the record,
mm-hmm.
there was the last day that we were there, I came downstairs because you sleep at Dockside. It's so cool. It's so magical.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
that's
why
I call the show Just Have a Pop.
Yeah. So I came downstairs down into the studio one morning, and my guitarist, Don Ambori, was down there, and he's fiddling around with a riff that he came up with on the guitar. And he says, kind of half jokingly, "Hey, Clay, why don't you throw some lyrics on this and we'll record it later this afternoon," which was hilarious because the shortest song we had ever written together probably took 3 months. And So I said, "Oh, yeah, sure." And he goes, "No, serious, here." And he hands me his phone, which he had done a little phone recording of. Mm-hmm. So I went out. There's this cool little dock that they have out there on the swamp. And mm-hmm. I went and walked around on this dock for an hour. And the song just poured out of me, the lyrics. And it was actually wrote it for my friend Daniel, who's in the studio with me today.
Sweet.
We've been best friends since we were 5 years old. And Daniel was going through a hard time, so I just wrote him this song of, like, you know, don't forget that you're not alone and that I'm here with you and everything's going to be okay. And it's that kind of a song.
And nice.
Went back in the studio, and sure enough, we recorded it that afternoon, the whole band. And I got to say, it might be my favorite song on the record. So we're getting better. We're getting better.
Yeah, that's what they often say. You know, practice. That's how you achieve your goals, is you practice. So there's 11 songs, right?
Yeah.
And then they all kind of have that same theme of
spending
time with your family and friends and loved ones rather than pursuing, riches that evaporate and you can't take with you when you go.
Yeah, they kind of do all revolve around that theme. There's they cover quite a spectrum of emotion, some from, like, almost hopelessness of being in the rat race and kind of losing our soul and losing touch, and then also to anger about, you know, the one percenters that have to be so greedy that it sets up this scenario where we have to spend so much time at work and so little time with the ones that we love. And and then a few love songs of the time that we do spend with our families and our loved ones, and how sweet and precious it is and makes the whole thing worth it.
Cool. Well, I know having your guitar in the studio is not going to be the same as hearing it on the CD, but do you have some that you want to share?
Sure. I'll play that one that we were just talking about that I wrote for Daniel here, and it's called Flesh and Bone.
Lots changed since we were young. We went from playing with loaded guns to this hole in our heart, looking for home. See you there right in front of me, but it's like reaching out across the sea, trying to let you know that you're not alone. Hey, hey, you're just flesh and bone. Well, I know the road's been hard, but don't forget who you are. There's a child there who'll never be grown. Hey, hey, he's just flesh and bone. We crave the comfort of the home that we broke. We'd save it all, but it all went up in smoke. But what was lost, it ain't carved in stone. It's just flesh and bone. The seeds we've sown. crave the comfort of the homes that we broke. We'd save it all, but it all went up in smoke. But what was lost, it ain't carved in stone. And all we have is just on loan, this flesh and bone.
Nice. I like that lyric. It's just, it's all on loan what we have.
Yeah.
So it's really a great perspective to have. So talk about some of the growth that you noticed between album one and album five, and or projects, since we don't really do albums anymore. And then like how y'all have developed as a band and working out communication and parts and blah, blah, blah.
Well, at the beginning, I was extremely protective of my songs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't trust people very much. And so the way I brought a song to the band is the way it stayed, and nobody was allowed to touch it or mm-hmm. change it or critique it or anything. You know, you just play your part and that's it.
Yeah.
And as time has gone on, I feel like I've opened up a lot more to my bandmates and to the world in general, you mm-hmm. know, and to stop seeing the songs as so precious and so fragile that they can be moved and they can be morphed, and it's not going to kill them, you know, they're more pliable than that. And all the way till this album where we're finally actually collaborating on the writing, mm-hmm. you know, which is huge for me. I've never done that in my whole life, collaborated with somebody, because I thought the church of songwriting was only big enough for me to mm-hmm. fit in. And I'm starting to bring people in there with me. And it's a very liberating feeling. It's actually spreading into all my relationships, you know, into my family relationship. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, like as a father, I'm the only father in my family. And nobody knows what it's like to be a father, and nobody knows about my struggles, and this is my thing, and nobody can help me here. And it's come into that, and like opening up more to my wife and to my parents and my siblings, and saying, hey, these are the struggles I'm having, which I was very kind of closed-mouthed about before.
Mm-hmm.
And I went it alone, and it was solitary, and it was a lot of suffering.
Yeah.
And now I can open up a little bit more and talk about my struggles and my weaknesses, and lo and behold, you know, more hands make light work.
Oh yeah.
So it's a good lesson for me.
Mm-hmm.
This album has kind of made me grow as a human being all around.
Neat. Yeah, it's always fun to hear stories, and also encouraging, you know, somebody struggling with this and they go through this and they realize, hey, let me just share and reach out and realize that, you know, we, as you said, not meant to be alone, and it's easier when you walk in hand with somebody.
Yeah.
Realizing that, you know, a lot of times struggles try to keep you isolated, but if you open up and share that, and through art, reach out and let people, and then might somebody else going through the same, similar, realize that, hey, you know, let me reach out to my family or a friend, and let's kind of see how we
yeah.
can work this out together.
It's interesting because as songwriters, I think most of us wear our heart on our sleeve as far as the song is concerned. We have
mm-hmm.
no problem getting up in front of an audience of strangers and sharing some of our most painful experiences and our deepest struggles. But then when we get off stage, it's all business, and the people come up and they say, at least for me, it was this way for a long time. And then when the people would come up and say, oh man, I really related to that, I've gone through, and I have this sort of like this sheen of businessman, like I will shake your hand, I will sign your CD, and then I will go home. Like it was this weird thing where
mm-hmm.
I trusted them enough to spill my guts on stage, but then when we're face to face and there's no guitar or microphone in between us, I get protective, and I, you know, I want to back off and not connect at that point. And Yeah, that's another place where I've grown, is sort of like I'm supposed to be speaking on behalf of humanity, the mm-hmm. humanity that's in me. So if I can, if that's a switch that I turn on and off, then it's not that genuine. You know, it's either I'm here to relate with you mm-hmm. or I'm not. And if I'm not, then I shouldn't be writing all these songs and spilling them all over the microphone, I don't think.
Interesting perspective. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Je Savais Pas, and my guest today is Clay Rose, sharing his journey as a musician and songwriter and his band Gasoline Lollipops in their fifth album being recorded. Actually, it's done right now at Dockside Studio. So you now have opened up with this one where you've allowed collaboration. Are you the only one that sings, or does somebody else kind of do harmony with you?
Right now, I'm the only one that sings, but we did bring in a couple of gospel singers mm-hmm. from Lafayette here to sing harmonies on some of the songs, and they were amazing. That was, like, for me, kind of the most magical moment of the whole record.
So is this the first record where you brought that aspect in of harmonies and bringing in some other people to collaborate?
It is, and it was such an exhilarating experience. We're definitely going to do a lot more of that from now on.
Cool. Then did you give them the liberty to figure out
the
harmony part?
Absolutely. That's their bag. Yeah. I mean, we had some ideas in mind, and we even pitched them our ideas, and mm-hmm. they went in and sang, and we're like, yeah, that's okay. And then she's like, what if I just do this instead? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going to shut my mouth now, and you do your thing, because that is brilliant.
Uh-huh. Okay, sweet. So then what's a song that you opened up to other people contributing?
There's this one, Train to Ride, I think is probably the most collaborative one on the album. Train to Ride, or the title track, All the Misery. But my mom wrote a lot of the lyrics, mm-hmm. at least 60% of the lyrics. And my buddy Max Davies, who I grew up with, I've known him since I was 4 years old.
And wow.
He wrote some of the lyrics and some of the music. And mm-hmm. then every band member had input as far as the music goes and arrangement.
Okay. I know in the first interview, you talked about how the melody and the lyrics would come at the same time, and you would try to get it, sing it through, and then we made that comment about, instead of, you know, texting and driving, it's driving and writing down ideas on a pad.
Yeah.
So when you were working on the song collection for this project, did you find that it sort of kept up that routine,
because nobody in the band is a lyricist, really, the music is what they're writing.
Mm-hmm.
I just, when we would collaborate on songs, most of the time I just let them write the music. And they would come up with an idea for a verse, come up with an idea for a chorus, come up with an idea for a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would take all those pieces home with me, listen to them, write words, and then I would decide where the bridge should go or how many choruses or that kind of thing, or if we should have a double verse at the beginning, just depending on the flow of the lyrics.
Okay, gotcha. Then, so what are some of the challenges of bringing in five people into a recording studio and working on it? I mean, did they record it in like layers and tracks, or did they just everybody just go in and start working? And
we recorded everything live. Yeah, uh-huh. I was in an isolation booth, and other than the gospel singers and a couple of second guitar lines that my guitarist would play, other than that, we just played everything live together, singing and playing at the same time. And we did this whole album on tape,
mm-hmm.
which is my first experience recording to tape. And tape is expensive. So we bought a limited amount of reels.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a limited amount of takes.
Mm-hmm.
So the most takes that we ever took on a song was three. And most things we got in the first two takes. So the name of the game is preparation. And then we just practiced and practiced and practiced before we came down. And I just love that. In the past, I've spent months and months in the studio with Pro Tools trying to get it perfect,
mm-hmm.
you know, editing and And that's just off the table now. So humanity's our only option here. We can go in there and sound human, warts and all. And you try to get the take with the least amount of warts, but none of them are free of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love that, you know, because all my favorite records were written or recorded by, I think, probably, I mean, almost all my favorite records, it's by 74 they were recorded. And mm-hmm. they're all full of those imperfections, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear somebody drop a drumstick or, you know, a string go out of tune halfway through the song. And it doesn't matter because it's about the performance mm-hmm. and how well they delivered it. And so to change our philosophy on recording was huge for us. And I think really liberating for everybody involved. We're all really excited about it.
Neat. Well, I know on the first interview, I didn't leave time to discuss social media. And then if somebody wanted to purchase one of the CDs, a website where they could go and order it or they could contact you if they had questions that we didn't have time to address, or if they just wanted to figure out, you know, where y'all going to be playing. Might be in your area. So just kind of share website, social media platform, and then if you have like a concert show gig calendar listed somewhere.
Yeah, all of that will be available at gasolinelollipops.com. We have the concert calendar, and we will have the album for sale there and the mm-hmm. contact sheet that they can get in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
But also if they prefer Facebook, we're on Facebook or Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a Twitter page, but I despise it. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just the main nerve of like the country's neuroses. It's just, let's just dump all our neurotic thought in one spot. So I try to stay away from that. But
sounds like the beginning of a song.
Yeah. Y'all can take it. Whoever wants that one, go ahead and run with it.
Okay. So website, gasolinelollipops.com. And then that's the same under Facebook?
Yep. Gasoline Lollipops. And if you just want to listen to music and you don't want any of the neuroses, you can go to bandcamp.com. And there's nothing but music and lyrics. And none of my thoughts. None of my political agenda.
And you also mentioned Spotify. So y'all have them on Spotify?
Yeah, we're on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, all of that.
Okay. And they just basically go search under the band name.
Yeah.
And that'll bring up the four albums and then this one.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So then is there one more song you want to share?
Sure.
Maybe like your favorite one or your least favorite one or the one that came out the easiest or the one that had the most rehearsing required.
Yeah, I'll play this one. This is called Taking Time, and it's all about exactly what we've been talking about taking too much time trying to afford time with our loved ones. I've been taking time to make time, spend it all on the ones I love. But when I get home, I see I've been blind to the things that a home is really made of. Sorrow are just a part of me.
the fun song. Great. I like that boom. What prompted that sort of strumming accent pattern?
Just listening to a lot of Motown, you know, that backbeat.
Yeah, cool. So as we begin to wrap up, how long has the band been together?
Well,
I think you mentioned that on the last episode, but I don't remember.
In this incarnation, I would say 5 years, but there's so many answers to that question. It's a confusing question.
Okay. How have you noticed that y'all have grown in just communication and musicianship through this journey?
We have not. We've actually regressed in communication. No. Sometimes I feel like that, but, you know, it's a ever moving, ever shifting. There's so much chemistry mm-hmm. involved here. We are moody creatures, you know, especially musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And some days I feel like, yeah, we finally figured it out. We got the formula. This is how. And there's certain tours where the entire tour is just smooth sailing. It's just like mm-hmm. being with brothers and just love them so much. And then there's other ones where I'm about to hop out of the van at full speed. So I don't know, you know, love and tolerance. That's what we're trying to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And some days we're better at it than others. But for today, it's blue skies and we're doing well. So we're going to hang on to that as long as we can.
Well, good. Well, thanks again, Clay, for coming back to the studio and sharing more songs and the experience of this fifth album, which is what, Misery? Money,
all the misery money can buy. Yeah.
You've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at krvs.org. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Clay, for sharing, and everybody have a wonderful afternoon.
Hours underground music. It's The Fringe, Fridays, 10 p.m. on KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette and Lake Charles.